Séché dans le soleil. À condition, bon père couleur, t'es caché jusqu'à ce qu'elle faise. T'as conti bébé.
Okay, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Having a little bit of delay here. We're trying to get patched in Dr. Bart Green, and we're having some communication issues here. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was the situation in Haiti. And the problem is, with Haiti, we know that they had a major earthquake some while back in January. And we see a little in national news about it. But I felt maybe we could give a little attention to it here in Honolulu and in Hawaii and reach out and see what is the status and what is actually occurring. And we just don't know we see there's a cholera outbreak, and we see there is some serious issues that the money that was promised didn't make it, or some of the money that did make it was actually spent, and in a good way, and unable to really get anything done with the amount of money, and so they ran out of money. And I had asked Dr. Bart Green to call in, and we're going to see if, in fact, he can help us. So I'm going to go to a little music here for a minute, and we'll be right back to you.
La force de frappe de l'homme parlant, c'est de dire, ou bien nous voulons que le développement serve de guide aux gens de mauvaises intentions. Si ta condition la présence, c'est vrai, des voix, un peuple conscient. Il faudrait que l'encourager, mais qu'il comprenne qu'il vérité. Malgré tout, c'est yo capoulé, j'ai rangé, c'est yo qui l'espoir. Zami loin là pour le recevoir, tout le monde là, car y'a pas être là. Enfin, sans destruction, nous chita sous malédiction. C'est pas chita à critiquer, puisque c'est crasé, n'a pas crasé. Yon des trois cadavres est passé, va pour qu'être là va pisser, sous tête l'eau sous ça va couler, si goutillon l'air n'a pas mandé. Zami bré, m'bral, kai zami noué. Zami bré, m'bral, kai zami noué. Yo dis zami noué, c'est l'argent serré. Mais zami bré, c'est couteau de bois, m'bral, ouais, si c'est vrai. Zami bré, m'bral, kai zami noué. Zami bré, m'bral, kai zami noué. Yo dis zami noué. Mes amis prêts, c'est couteau de bois. Faire, ouais, c'est pas vrai.
Just all lies out. church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that dress. Grandma's hand. Unwed mother, grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her, she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, grandma's hand. Candy, grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma.
All right, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. As I say, we had a little connection problems here, and I have Dr. Green on, and so what we're going to do is patch him in. And good morning, Dr. Green. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Just excited to sit and talk with you and have you to share and update us on what's happening in Haiti and some of the difficulties that they're experiencing there as a population, as a nation. So what I'm, you're with Project MediShare, which you are the co-founder, which was founded in 1994. And you were there working for many years, and I understand quite a bit of work you've put in. And out of the University of Miami, can you give us some background on yourself and your organization, first of all?
Sure. Well, about 20 years ago, like you said, I made my first trip to Haiti on a mission trip and fell in love with the people, their tremendous courage and stoicism and their optimism. And you just have to look at their spirituality. I mean, the fact that they paint everything in bright colors and the music is so wonderful and positive, and they live in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere where the main cause of death in children is still dirty water and starvation.
Uh-huh. And you were there doing that, but what brought you there originally?
Well, some classmates of mine from medical school actually ran medical missions there, and faith-based missions, and they invited me on a medical trip. It turned out I was the only doctor, and I had my son with me, and we saw thousands of patients in 1 week in the most isolated areas, and they were so grateful and so wonderful. And then on Sunday, the last day of our trip, they came out of the hills, and there was not one building, you know, but they came out of the hills in these beautiful outfits to church, and they sang like angels, and I just said to myself, you know, they really deserve a better opportunity. And a couple years later, after making many trips, which was like, we say, cutting the grass in the rainy season, meaning that it doesn't do any good if you go there, do something, and then leave, we decided we were going to commit, and we created a Project MediShare, which was not Medicare, Medicaid, not entitlement. Instead, it was for us to learn from them and them to learn from us, and for us to actually give them the opportunity to have the dignity they deserve and the opportunity to be self-sustaining and to create infrastructure. And we've been there ever since, and today we take care of hundreds of thousands of people there, all their medical care from birth to death. You know, literally, we do the childbirth and immunize the kids and do the HIV and all the different programs in community health and development.
Mm-hmm. For the listeners out there, projectmedishare.org. That's projectmedishare.org. They're in Miami, Florida, and again, they're working through the University of Miami. But, Doctor, we see on, I noticed that CNN, and you've done interviews with CNN and CBS, and you've laid it out what the problems are. For us here in Hawaii, how does it look, and what would you say, how would you describe this, the outlook right now? Is it dire? Is it bad? Does it need to be helped along?
Well, you can imagine being the poorest nation in the hemisphere and then being hit by the worst earthquake in this hemisphere where 200,000 people died. And then a few months later, you get hit by the winds and flooding of a hurricane and then an epidemic from cholera that was brought in by the United Nations troops who the sanitation, you know, wasn't up to par, and it contaminated the waterways of Haiti. So now there's a huge epidemic, and probably tens of thousands of people will die. And it's just, it's very tough to keep saying, but, you know, keep your chin up.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is there's only 10 million people. It's an hour and a half from Miami, the United States, and they really want to have more opportunity. What you see on television, all the craziness with people throwing rocks and turning over garbage cans and burning tires, that's a few percent of young kids who are getting paid to do it by nutcases, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's still, but 98-99% of the population are just the most amazing, spiritual, warm people who they don't want a doll, the kids, they don't want a piece of candy. They want books. They want musical instruments. They want art supplies. They want to be able to create and they want to be able to get on the internet and communicate with the world, because they're starving not just for protein. They're starving for education and opportunity and jobs. And that's what we're all about. Our organization was there, you know, 15, 16 years before the earthquake officially. And we're going to be there in the future, and pretty much everybody else is gone except a few groups like Project Medishare and Partners in Health. And, you know, there's a few groups that are still hanging in there, so to speak, but it's very frustrating because 90% of the money that was given for Haiti never reaches Haiti.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we could you give a little more detail on the contamination by the suspect, the contamination by the United Nations?
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose. What happened is cholera is not a disease of the Caribbean, and it's not been a problem in Haiti or other underdeveloped nations in our hemisphere. Instead, cholera actually is something that's endemic. It's very common in Asia and Africa, different countries. And what happened is the United Nations troops were sequestered at this place near Mirabalais. It's called at the foot of the Central Plateau, which is the most isolated part of Haiti. And their latrines, their waste, you know, containers overflowed. It had a lot to do with the hurricanes and flooding. And they seeped into the nearby rivers. And, you know, in Haiti, there's no clean water. There's no toilets, I mean, except in the few percent of people have them. There's no plumbing. There's no sewers. So what happens is people drink from the rivers, and they wash their clothes, and they cook, and they, you know, everything is from the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is kids and adults were drinking this water. It was contaminated by the bacteria, cholera, which... Actually, they trace back to Asia. It's not a bug that's in this hemisphere. And unfortunately, people got sick, and they went into other rivers, and they got, you know, they contaminated those. But it's not a disease that anybody has to worry about who washes their hands or has clean water.
Uh-huh.
I've got hundreds of doctors and nurses down there, volunteers from Hawaii and all over the United States who are down in Haiti with our teams now. And they're fine because they practice hygiene. So we've sent out huge sound trucks with, you know, and chlorine, Clorox, to, you know, to purify the water before they drink it. And education, telling people, look, it's deadly. Do not drink from the rivers. Do not cook from the rivers. Mm-hmm. In spite of that, you know, there's so many people that are isolated that they die. And the reason they die is not because it's an untreatable disease. They die because within hours of it entering their system, they have massive diarrhea and vomiting. They get dehydrated, and they die from that. So we have what's called oral rehydration kits. We've set up centers to treat the cholera called CTCs, Centers for the Treatment of Cholera. And we're partnering with the Ministry of Health in Haiti and with Partners in Health and Project MediShare and Sean Penn and his group, JPRO. And we're all working together. And, you know, mostly we're trying to educate people and make sure that they have the soap and the Clorox and the clean water they need to get over this, because you could stop this epidemic. But the predictions are, from all the smart people who predict epidemics, they're telling us it's going to get worse before it gets better. So we're, instead of doing what we should be doing, which is building schools and factories and housing and creating opportunity for these wonderful people, we're spending our time just CPR, just saving lives again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very tragic. And the DR is right next door, and it doesn't exist in the DR. It's on the same island. Why? Because they have plumbing and sewers and clean water.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
The Dominican Republic.
But yep.
Now, what could local people here in Hawaii do to assist you and your organization just to fight the cholera epidemic that's at their doorsteps right now? What can they do?
Well, they can donate funds. They can donate chlorine tablets to mm-hmm. purify water. Water purification equipment is amazing. Would be amazing. Anything to really, you know, help with this, you know, oral rehydration kits, you know, vitamins for kids and stuff and for adults. And there's just a lot that people can do. But one thing that doesn't make sense, of course, is to ship water from Hawaii or even from the U.S. So
mm-hmm.
we really need to get permanent plants there to create clean water. But, you know, we've had many, many volunteers from all the Hawaiian islands who've come over and spent a week at least, or two or three, in Haiti with Project MediShare, and especially doctors, nurses, X-ray techs, therapists, physical therapists, rehab people. So we have thousands of amputees. We're working with the Knights of Columbus to put hundreds and hundreds of legs every year on kids, because they need two or three artificial legs a year. And if you're in a developing country and you can't stand up and walk, you got big problems. There's
mm-hmm.
no ramps, and there's no curb cuts on sidewalks. So there's so many things they could use.
Mm-hmm.
But education, you know, education, opportunity, jobs. So if one thing that we have a favored nation status now in Haiti. So we the people are wonderful manufacturers. So if anybody needs a place, instead of going to China to put together clothing or various handicrafts or goods, they can manufacture in Haiti much cheaper than China.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things they can do, and we'd love to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually coming out there next month for a week or so. I'll be in the islands, and I'd love to meet you, and if any of your viewers want to talk about Haiti or how they can help, I would be thrilled to meet with them. We're very much dependent. We're not a big group, and we raised almost $8 million after the earthquake, and that's what we've spent.
Mm-hmm.
So we're every penny is transparent, and we built a critical care hospital at the airport, and we treated 30,000 critically injured and ill patients for 5 months, and then with fires and you know, lightning and flooding and everything, we moved to a smaller hospital downtown, and we fixed it up. And this week we shipped a CAT scan down there. There's not one working in the whole country. There's not one angiogram machine in the whole country. So if you have a stroke, a heart attack, a severe injury, trauma, severe burns, or a maternal emergency, it's a death sentence in Haiti, no matter how poor or rich you are,
mm-hmm.
because there's no facilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one machine to treat cancer, one radiation machine. I mean, it's hard to believe that these conditions exist, but they do. And the one thing that's good about Haiti is everybody wants to be better. Everybody wants to work hard. They don't expect to be given things. They really want to be better.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people wanting to, if they're hearing this show today and want to act immediately, where would you suggest they contact? I've mentioned your project, Medishare.org, online, but where else can they contact those that do not have internet? Where would they write to or send a donation?
Well, they can. I guess the way to do would be to call Project Medishare, and you could reach us. I just don't have the 800 number here. In 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
But you can call in Miami, which is our headquarters. It's 305-243-8200. And that's our switchboard, and we'll put it through to the right people.
Okay.
305-243-8200, and that'll be open for sure, you know, Miami time, Eastern time, from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Now, before the earthquake in January, you've been there, as you've said, and you founded the Shake-A-Leg Foundation, a program?
Right.
Well, what was that?
The Shake-A-Leg in Miami is a water sports program that would be wonderful in Hawaii. It's we serve about 12,000 kids and adults with physical, developmental, and financial challenges. So we have boats that we have a blind sailing team that won the World Blind Sailing Championship. We have boats that are have ventilators, so kids and adults that can't breathe can go out. We've got a Wounded Warriors program so that veterans, amputees, and other head injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder, wounded warriors coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, they actually come to Shake-A-Leg, and they have all kinds of programs on and under the water and all sorts of classroom programs, multimedia and music and other programs that empower people who have challenges. And it's a wonderful organization. It's about 20 years old, and it's we have over 100 boats that are specially adapted with ramps and chin controls and braille set up for everything. So you can, if you name a disability, we're set up for it. And
mm-hmm.
we compete. We sort of even the playing field. Biscayne Bay is like an amazing playground, and we are people who are paralyzed and blind and are developmentally delayed. They get out and they compete against people like yourself and myself. And
mm-hmm.
so it's a wonderful opportunity also to integrate them with our community. And we have groups coming from all over the world for this. And it would be wonderful if we had a Shake-A-Leg in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of good friends who are serious sailors in Hawaii, and when I'm out there, I'm going to talk to them about that.
Well, we're going to have to coordinate something with you anyway, because I understand, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but a very prominent dentist here in town, Dr. Art Kamsudik, is your friend, and which of you served as best man in the wedding?
Well, I think we were both the best men when we were young men. We're very close, and my family, you know, and his family were joined at the hip, and I lived with the Kamasugis on the North Shore and in Honolulu for many years, more than I was home sometimes during my college and medical school days. So Art and his kids, you know, are all part of my family, and Libby, his wife, and they're tremendous competitive sailors and fishermen, and that's what Shake-A-Leg is all about. It's using the water to empower people to really feel the ability to of self-dignity and pride and to be able to experience competition, not just survival. And it's a wonderful program that combines education and recreation, and it's water-based, so the water's got a healing effect itself.
Uh-huh. I see. You there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, I have a young man on the phone here. Good morning. You there, Art?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a friend of yours online here.
Oh, this is like that TV show, huh? This is your life.
Hi, Bart.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Good.
Art and I and Denny Mahoney were the three, I don't know what the word is, good guys or stooges, but we were all over the Hawaiian Islands in the 60s and 70s and a lot. And,
mm-hmm.
It's still where my heart is, for sure. And the Kamasugis have been wonderful supporters, and the Mahonies of the paralysis research we do, as well as Shake a Leg and our other programs. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Art, can you tell us a little bit about the involvement here, and being that you're local, what could you solicit from the public or the listeners? It sounds like Haiti really needs help, and when we look at 1.5 million people impacted or displaced, and 300,000 crippled or injured, and now they have cholera looming over them and impacting them. What? How could you describe this to the local people and solicit help?
Well, number one, Bart walks the walk. He doesn't do this professionally to make money for himself. He's given his time and money over the years. He didn't go to Haiti for a photo op like a lot of celebrities and leagues. He's always been there. And, you know, for him to spend his personal funds and take his kids on their spring break and they spend their vacations to help the people of Haiti, you can be sure that if you give to his organization, it's not to, all of it probably will go to good causes, not be retained by administration and such.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I've known Barth for, almost 50 years now, and he's given more than he's taken. He deserves to get a path to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will be the gateway here if we set it up right, but recognizing, and I understand, just for example, there was one gentleman who was quoting in the news services that they will, there in Haiti, they will have more in one day as many amputees than Vietnam and Afghanistan.
That's why we're so lucky to have the Knights of Columbus come in and really do a big campaign for us, because the children are the most heartbreaking, because there's thousands of kids, and they outgrow their legs every 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we have culturally sensitive them. We've even created a soccer team with our amputees, and they're very competitive, and they're going to be traveling around the Caribbean, you know, competing against other teams. And it's just, I can tell you that up until the earthquake, every amputee in Haiti who was not among the wealthy sector, you know, 90% on the ground. They had no artificial limbs. They didn't even have crutches. So now we're making sure every one of them has artificial limbs and has physical therapy, rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
and not only, you know, have educational opportunities, but they also have sports and wellness opportunities. So the world's changing now. We need a little break from the guy up in the sky and give us a little time out. more cholera, no more earthquakes, no more floods.
Now imagine, I understand culturally, if one loses a limb, it has some cultural issues there too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of superstitions, and people are kind of isolated. They never leave their homes, and so we make sure that every, you know, we were doing amputations the next morning after the earthquake on a kitchen table without anesthesia, because there was, if we didn't take the legs off, these people were going to die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was horrible, but within days our hospital was up. It was 300 beds with ICUs and operating rooms, and we had the best hospital in the Caribbean, not just Haiti.
Uh-huh.
And it was all intense and air-conditioned, and all because we had Alonzo Mourning, one of the Miami Heat, you know, ex-stars, and he flew down these tents, and we had a tremendous outpouring from our community, and people were just amazing all over the United States. We ran an airlift twice a week. We were flying for the first 4 months, 737s. Full of doctors and nurses and supplies and equipment. So it was a massive effort. And now everybody's gone home. So we really need people that care about making a long-term commitment and want to see a different Haiti. Because
okay.
This whole thing wouldn't have happened if they had building codes I mean, the buildings were made of paper mache. That's why everybody died, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just was unnecessary. A worse earthquake hit Chile, as you know, shortly after Haiti, but there was 1,000 deaths, not 200,000.
Mm-hmm. 200,000 people died. Now, I was speaking yesterday to a gentleman, and the first thing out of his mouth was, well, in Haiti, they want something for nothing. And I was taken aback by that such a attitude would permeate, and I hear it occasionally. Dr. Green, you've been there, you know about it, and you've been motivated to do and extend yourself. What would you say to a person like that?
I really feel sorry for you because you don't know. You haven't been there. You haven't met the people, touched them, listened to them, hugged them, because it's quite the opposite. All they want is not something for nothing. They want one word, opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a job, they'll work 20 hours a day. You know, you give them a piece of food, they're going to share it with 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just an extraordinarily spiritual, stoic, amazing people. Sure, there's troublemakers, but most of them were criminals from New York and Boston that were American Haitians that they extradited to Haiti instead of putting them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught people about guns and violence. But the truth is, it's a peaceful people that just love music and art and really want to work hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this person is very sad. And I always tell my kids, when somebody talks like that, think about where they're coming from. What's their motivation? Is it lack of understanding and education? Is it something within themselves that isn't fulfilled or isn't good? Because that's a total waste of energy to talk like that. I mean, how could people not want to feed their kids and send them to school? And, you know, they definitely are not wanting something. That's why MediShare is not entitlement. It's not Medicaid. It's not giving out something to someone that's poor. It's giving them an opportunity to earn their own money. We build factories where we mill grains with beans and put micronutrients from the CDC gave us to create a nutritional food that creates a micro industry. We use microfinance. We work with a bank called Fancosi that gives micro loans, $70, $150. Their repayment rate, they've given almost 2,000 of these loans in my area. The repayment rate is 98%.
Mm-hmm.
These are little people that work in little kiosks or mini markets, but they have a tremendous pride and they're honest. They're wonderful. So I would just tell that person that Haiti doesn't want something for nothing. They just want the opportunity to create a future for themselves, their children, and they've never had it because there's been so much governmental corruption and all this stuff. And now they have democratic elections. And again, the democratic elections, all you see on TV is 200 young kids who are paid to throw rocks. That's all those, because that's what the news shows. They don't show the people all over the country going to the polls and voting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just typical, you know. The anyway, people like excitement, so you know.
Well,
anyway, I think that person should come with me to Haiti. I'll pay for his ticket, whoever you spoke to,
mm-hmm.
and let them spend a week with me and not want to do something, not want to change his speech and change his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think life is so short. If you don't have something good to say, you should not say it. And
yeah.
The second thing that this guy should know is what goes around comes around. So if he thinks that they don't want help, he should come and do something about it and show them the way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Art, you there?
Yes.
Now, they say a man can be judged, a woman, a person can be judged by the friends they keep. I've known you for a while now, and we're both members down at the Yacht Club, but, man, your stock has gone up. If to know and to have fraternizing, I'll call it, with the likes of Dr. Barth Green, you are a good man. And
well, it's been a pleasure to know Barth over the years, and his family was wonderful to me, and Barth's a Hawaiian at heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's for sure. I had some troubled years like everybody else when I was young, and I lived up on Calm Highway, and you know, with Art's family, more than my own, and it was a very important part of my life because they were really, you know, amazingly honest and hardworking people that, as Art said, you know, walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And I think that's why Art is who he is, and his brothers and sisters and his sister and kids and grandkids are going to be. And that's what life is all about, is setting good examples and having an opportunity to be successful. That's what we're trying to do in Haiti. Just give them an opportunity, and they're gonna be successful.
Mm-hmm. And your children, or some of your children, are actually helping you or did assist you in Haiti?
Yeah, my two sons are doctors, and they both have been down to Haiti since they're little kids. And my daughter, the same. She's our director of development for MediShare, so she's all over the country and raising money for Haiti, and she goes to Washington and beats up congressmen and senators and lets them know that, you know, what they're doing isn't right, because what they're doing basically is you know, giving billions of dollars for Haiti, but it never leaves the U.S. It goes to these beltway bandits, and it goes to the agencies repaid themselves. For example, you know, the Department of Defense and HRS and USAID, all these State Department, most of the money that was appropriated, the $3 billion, has never gotten to Haiti. Never gotten to Haiti. It's still sitting in Washington or with different groups, and it's tragic. And that's not just the U.S. It's the way we do business, and other nations do business as well. You know, they raise billions of dollars in Europe and all over, and that money's not in Haiti.
So it's being diverted or just withheld?
It's just the system we have. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember as a young man that I was on the docks in Haiti, you know, 15 years ago, and I saw these huge crates of computers coming to modernize the... I'm sorry about my...
Don't worry.
To modernize the court system, and none of the courts had electricity. So the computers just sat on the dock and rotted, you know. It's the same thing with, you teach people how to fish. You don't give them fish. Mm-hmm. So we send, you know, huge amounts of rice from American farmers down there, but we don't teach them and give them the technology, the tractors and the agriculture, the irrigation, so they can grow their own rice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, you know, the guy said they're entitlement-minded. Well, who runs Haiti? Basically the faith-based groups, the nonprofits all over Haiti have divided it up. So if you want to go to school, you want to eat, you know, in this part of Haiti, you got to be this or you got to be that and believe this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to perpetuate what this gentleman was talking about. And what you really need to do is give them an opportunity to know that people don't have an agenda. They just want to go in there and make things better. And they'll behave better. They'll enjoy health. And, I mean... Can you imagine kids today with orange hair and big bellies from kwashiorkor, starvation?
Mm.
You know, it just breaks your heart. And it's still prevalent all over Haiti.
Mm.
And it's just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to be coming to town approximately?
I'll be coming the second week in January.
Mm-hmm. Second week in January. And... you'd be available to meet and talk with others,
sure,
regarding this?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Well, Art, maybe you and I can, if you could assist me there, we can set up a little gathering there at the yacht club,
sure,
if that's possible. And then I'm sure there's a number of listeners out there would like to reach out and assist you, Dr. Green, and on the efforts. But anything else you'd like to offer before we go? We're getting down to the end of the hour. And
no, I think it's just a privilege for people like myself and Art and others who are fortunate to really share with others. And it's really been an important part of my life from the beginning. And I think that every day of your life, it doesn't hurt to spend a few minutes thinking about how you can help other people. And that's something that... I think we can pass on to our kids and feel good about the fact that regardless of what you read in the newspapers and see on television and radio and what you hear, there's a lot of good in the world, and there's still hope, I think, with the future and young people and caring about the environment and helping fight poverty. I think there's a lot of good things going on, so I like to take that high road and tell that guy, you know, let's do something together to make it better if you're not happy the way it is.
I have a caller, Dr. Green, wanting to say something to you.
Sure.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I think it's important that they have cut down all their trees, haven't they? And that's what makes these landslides and impoverishes the soil. Wouldn't it be important to plant trees, too?
Oh, absolutely. If you fly over the island of Hispaniola, you know, the Dominican Republic
it's
is green and lush and beautiful, and Haiti is brown. It's defoliated like Vietnam was, you know, after the war. And that's part of it is reforestation. But if you've got no fuel, see, in the DR, it's against the law to cut trees, and they give kerosene to people for energy, for heat. In Haiti, people cut trees because, you know, they don't have any alternative. They use the charcoal to cook and to heat and to, you know, do things they have to do.
Solar cookers.
Well, the solar cooker, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, solar for water purification, for cooking, for heat, for everything. So, yes, that's what's needed. Yeah, and Haiti, you know, Haiti could be an example of what we could do it with a make a country green, to be sure.
Right.
That's what it used to be. You know, the richest country in the world as far as agriculture 200 years ago before it became independent was Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And so that land has the potential to be the most productive as far as, you know, agriculture supporting the nation. It just needs the opportunity.
Yeah.
And people have to say, yes, we need to reforest, and we need to give people options for energy. And you can imagine most people don't have electricity. So cutting down trees and charcoal, making charcoal is what they have. It looks like, you know, when you drive through the countryside, you see these fires everywhere where they're burning trees. And it's a terrible thing, but in order to stop it, they have to get an energy source.
Right.
And
well,
so all these things were going to happen before the earthquake, but everything has sort of gone backwards.
Well, Dr. Green and caller, we're coming down to the last minute or so. And caller, thank you for calling. Are you there, Dr. Green?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. I want to thank you for calling, and please, I'll send you an email, and we'll communicate, and Art, we'll get together, communicate, and try and get... you there?
I'm here.
And
that must be Art.
Yeah. Well,
oh, I'm here.
Yeah, but anyway...
Okay, well, somebody, anyway, aloha to everybody, and all our love from Project MediShare and Miami and Haiti, and... we look forward. We have what's called telemedicine there. So anytime your viewers would like to see our hospital, you know, we can hook you right into the operating room, the trauma center, and you can see what we're doing down there to give them an opportunity to survive and to make a better country.
Okay. Well, thank you, the two of you, Dr. Bart Green and Dr. Art Kamasuji. Again, thank you. I appreciate you calling in, and we'll have you back on very soon.
All right.
Aloha.
All the best. Aloha.
Bye.
Aloha, Bart.
Smile.
We're going to come back here shortly. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Again, you can pick it up at carol@carolcox.com. And we're getting it all together here with communications. We had some power surges, but that's not your problem or my problem, and we'll work around it. And thank you for joining me, and we'll be back with the second hour, and we'll be talking about the Ko'olauloa and some of the issues with DPP. I have two guests here, and please join us, and we'll be back shortly.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.